right now. A guy got kicked out of a Kenny Chesney concert because he looked too much like Kenny. Well, see what you think. Nathan Blankenship is on the right. Kenny's on the left. The teacher says people tell him all the time, you look just like Kenny Chesney. And he'll stop and he'll take pictures with people sometimes just for fun. But at the show, he says security came up to him and asked to see his ticket.
And I thought he was just going to lead me back to my seat, which I've been fine with. But he grabs me by the arm and we start pulling me up the walkway to go to the very top. Is it because I wear the hat? I said, I've seen a million of these hats here. I think the way they handled it made it seem worse, because it's like they were really escorting Kenny Chesney through the crowd.
I bet the audience did think that. Blankenship said that Sony has offered to refund his ticket.
Doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, even if you are an impersonator, I mean, doesn't stop you from being able to go to the concert,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And he's not an impersonator. That's not what I'm saying.
No, but, he's just a fan.
Unless he was, you know, it's kind of like police impersonation,
oh,
right? If you're
you.
Impersonating Kenny Chesney, that's different.
He wasn't trying to, I don't think. I don't know. I had the same problem when I go see Ray Romano in concert. I get the bums rush too. I'm like,
No,
what do you do? No.
Raymond.
Raymond. Yeah. You know, that's the prettiest thing. Let me show you what it looks like. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where we talk about music that people don't like, people get made fun of for liking, and comics defend that very music that I just discussed just merely seconds ago. I am, of course, Tom Takkar, the Wolf of Dog Street, and I'm joined once again by the dog, the boy who cried dog of Wall.
Sure.
The dog of Wolf Street. Who gives a shit? The Prince of Snarkness, my roommate for one more day.
Yeah,
not really. It's over. Tommy McNamara.
Jesus Christ. A dark beginning.
I'm just crying.
We should kick our shoes off though. We're at the beach for this one again.
Oh hell
right
yeah!
Right after Buffett, we're doing another.
I
beach
love
boy.
It. Let's stick with this sort of shit.
And we are very excited.
So excited.
To talk to each other.
Yes, and only each other.
Son of a bitch.
We have an amazing guest, Alyssa Lynn Paris, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. That was, wow. So this is it. This is your last day in this place where we're recording.
Can you describe what you're seeing?
Yeah, describe this.
Well, I think it looks as though you've been robbed.
To be fair, I think it looked like that before, too.
We've moved almost everything out, and we're podcasting at Tom's desk.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it looks like a comedian's apartment. Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you something.
Sure.
You've done Comedy Bang Bang.
Sure.
Was it more professional than this?
No. This
that's
is
good to know.
You know what it was? It was more professional, but did I get a Miller Lite upon walking in? I did not.
No, sorry.
So what do you...
Is it because you didn't ask for one?
Yeah.
Because you did come in here
it's
and demand
I was hammered. It's because I walked in blacked out and they cut me off.
Wow. We are setting the vibe well. We got Tom's drinking tequila.
Hey, shut up.
No, he sings about tequila and beers.
My fucking probation officer listens to this. He's a huge fan.
That's nice.
That's why he goes easy on me.
I do, before we get too far, I watched so many Kenny Chesney videos trying to find a funny one to open with, and every interview he's like pretty... Boring.
Boring, funny. And he's not even part of that one, which is the fun
but
part.
But then I love that video because there's definitely part of that story that we're not hearing.
Totally. He's signing autographs.
He was selling autographs. I bet you he was selling autographs. It's like me when I go to a Ray Romano show. That guy didn't look anything like Ray Romano either. It was offensive to me as someone who kind of looks like Ray Romano. Every coworker I've ever had has been like, you should be like Ray Romano.
Really?
You look like him. I don't see it.
I never thought that. Wow.
Also, I love the, that's my favorite space to live in, is kind of, he pitched a joke, he bombed, and then he kind of went, anyway, let's see what the weather's looking like.
I'm going to go to weather every time I bomb now. I'm going to be like, feather dot, more like potato or Nazi, and it's about 68 today.
We got a 30% chance of rain, so you're going to want to bring your umbrella just
to be safe.
That's
right, people. I'm brave enough to do a real joke from my ass. You guys want to do one?
No. Also, absolutely not. Also, that video was on a network that had 431K subscribers,
Jesus.
And that video had...
824 views.
It's not a three news likes. Story. A guy who was definitely scamming people at Kenny Chesney concert is lying, and that's the news. And they fell for it, and that's the news.
Also, you know what else was great? He's like, yeah, I'll look a little bit like Kenny Chesney. He was dressed in the exact same color scheme He's and outfit that Kenny was wearing at the concert.
yeah he like, clearly, they go, he goes, those are the cowboy hat. He's like, yeah, probably.
Probably.
And the cutoff thing, you're clearly trying to be, it's insane.
And then he acts like, oh, everyone's probably tricked. They thought it was Kenny Chesney getting escorted out. Like, yeah, I'm sure that's what people thought. Like, oh no, Kenny got arrested in the crowd at his own show.
Kenny's on stage singing, but maybe he also is getting arrested and I'm having a stroke.
Which one do I shoot? What is the title of the video in case anyone wants to look it up?
It is Hey, Wait a Minute. You're not Kenny Chesney.
That is my popular Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me ripoff. Hey, Wait a Minute.
Hey, Wait a Minute.
That is good. It's a very popular show on NPR. Hey, Wait a Minute. You're not Kenny Chesney. Man, I'm so happy to be here with you guys. My voice is a little shitty right now.
So this is, we've recorded every single episode of this show except the live ones here, except the live ones on the Joe List one, all yes. 2 years of episodes.
And in a row. You're listening. These are severely backlogged. This was over the course
Best
of 100 hours straight. and the Patton Oswalt episode and the Kyle Kinane also.
That's true. Yes.
Pretty much all the big boys.
Sorry, Alyssa.
No, these big shot assholes can't come here, but Alyssa has time.
Yeah, I mean,
she's bigger
really.
Than all these fucking little
this is
pieces
a real,
of
this
shit.
Is a real male-female issue we're witnessing.
Exactly. These true. Divas make us come to their La Quinta Inn.
Yeah, that's Kalkin Inn. La Quinta Inn, yeah.
Oh, God.
And he made us bring the Bud Lights to him.
That's true.
Oh, wow. Now, did you bring this? So you brought this setup there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is dedication. That's why, like, there is like I love working hard. I really love working hard, and I draw the line at like carrying shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll do anything, and then it's like, oh, you want me to carry that to a La Quinta Inn? No, it's not gonna happen.
There's a in Carrie Brownstein's book about Sleater-Kinney, she talks about that where Time had just named them the best rock and roll band in America, and that day she was like lugging an amp to a concert. Just like, oh, why am I doing this?
Totally.
Yeah.
That's crazy because, yeah, on the day that our podcast got announced worst podcast, when I had to lug this shit to Kyle Kinane's hotel room.
Small world. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool of Time to do that. Hey, any press is good press.
I think that, like,
I'm
it
concerned.
Would be fun if there were worst lists, like worst bomb, because like it'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. This podcast sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last day in the apartment. Boy, a lot of history.
A lot
these
of history
walls.
Here. I mean, I was here years ago. Yeah. I was in a ballet.
Yes.
And we had a rehearsal
right.
here.
Yes.
That's right.
God. If these walls could talk, they'd say, "Get the rats out of me."
Oh God. Yeah, that is.
But yeah, I this is a hectic
great
time.
Moment in podcast recording here. So we had Guy Montgomery on the show, and a rat went right across the kitchen, and we all saw it.
Yes,
No.
We did see it. Oh my God! I have to tell. By the way,
this
leads me into what I was going to talk about anyway, which was that I just got back from Montreal.
Yes, very cool.
Very fun little time. I did a festival called Just for Laughs there, where I saw a one Guy Montgomery. Because I was doing my my solo show, which is just I was just doing my act.
Yeah,
right.
Everybody there was like, "What do you mean you're solo?" Like, but that's what they call it. As if I was gonna like do like a Nanette sort of show.
Yeah.
But no, I was just doing stand up. But I requested Guy Montgomery to open for me, and they got confused and requested Guy Branum open for me, and then Guy Branum said yes. I'd never met him ever.
Oh my God.
And then he agreed to do it, and I was just like, oh shit. And I have nothing against the guy. I was just like, this is gonna be really fucking weird. And then fortunately he canceled last second.
Oh, did he?
And Guy Montgomery
and then
did
Guy
it.
Guy Pierce
oh my
came
God.
In.
Wow.
Guy, the drummer from That Thing You Do, showed up.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, but
pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was a very nice little time. I had some pretty crazy shit happen that I felt like should be talked about on this very podcast.
Let's air it out.
So the first show I do at this festival is something called Best of the Fest, and
so
I was
a booking mix-up.
It was a very Guy Branum, Guy Montgomery mistake. They meant to get Tom Green. So I show up, and they I'm hosting or whatever. And 3 minutes into my set, somebody screams out, and I thought they yelled out Trump, but what are they? Because I was just prepared for that in Canada or whatever. This person yelled out, "I need help." And it turned out they were having a medical emergency.
Oh my God.
And then I.
How far into your set?
Like 4 minutes or something like that, three or four. And
I'm having a medical emergency. This set fucking sucks.
Well, we could have gone the other way. So they, I was killing.
She is dead.
She is
unfortunately sure she's passed dead. On. My best wishes to her family. Anyway, all jokes aside, it's going to be about 65
in Brooklyn.
Anyway, so this lady's having a medical emergency. I hear like a glass drop. She's like, "There's something. My drink is weird or something." I couldn't tell what was happening, but everybody crowds around her, and I stop the show. Obviously, I'm a pro. Although this happened to someone, I won't name names, but the same thing happened in Chicago to a guy, and he just did. He stayed on stage.
Oh, God.
I think I heard the woman was having a seizure is what happened. And I was at a show in Chicago where I was opening for this guy, and during his set, a lady had a seizure in the front row. And he was like, "What the fuck is going on?" And then somebody was like, "She's having a seizure." And he goes, "Oh, I can't believe this is happening to me."
Oh, my God.
He stayed on stage. He goes, "I don't know what to do." And they were like, "You can take a break." And then he was like, "Well, I'm worried they won't pay me if I stop." So he just stayed on stage while the paramedics came and shit.
That is
crazy.
That is like.
It was bonkers. But anyway, I stopped the show like a good man would. Yep. And also like a sane person would. And I'm like, this show is fucked, obviously.
Right.
What's going to happen from here? But she comes to the paramedics. People are like, "You should probably still go to the hospital," whatever. But while all this is happening, somebody part of the I don't want to name names, but somebody came up to me. It's not that like it's their fault. It was like a venue person comes up and they go, "Just so you know, you have to go back up. Like you have to do the show." And I was like, "But what the fuck do we do?" And
They're
like, "You kind of got to figure it out. I don't know." And they were like, "Will you just go back up?" And I was like, "Okay. Here's what we have to do." And I just had them start the music over. And then I went up and did the same first joke as if I pretended like nothing happened.
Funny.
And that worked. Nice. And then it was fine. But what a bonkers way to start the most stressful festival of.
Maybe it almost like, I wonder if it almost helped in a way where it's like.
See what you're saying. I think it did.
Where it's just kind of like, "Oh, okay, well, something completely out of my control. This worst day of this woman's life," or whatever. It is just kind of like, it's like, "All right, this is just jokes." Sometimes it's maybe helpful to take the pressure off.
So start the festival with that weird thing, then have a great time. Last thing of the festival, I was taping something for this Canadian TV. It was John Doerr, who's like one of my favorite comedians of all time. I'm the first one up. I go up. First joke hits. I'm feeling good. I look out in the crowd. Nick Kroll is just sitting there, like four rows back.
And now this is just the audience. Now this is just your show or John Doerr's show as well.
What's that?
So this is you're doing your solo show again.
Yeah, no. This is like no.
A shorter
this
set.
It's like 7 minutes. It's like a late night type spot.
Got it.
But I don't know. Whenever you do like a high pressure set, you're kind of like, "Oh, I hope this is fun" or whatever. Especially when it's being taped or whatever. But like Tom, you just did your taping, like your album taping.
Yeah.
Imagine 2 minutes in, you've gotten a couple big pops, you're feeling good. You see Nick Kroll sitting there looking at his phone, not laughing at anything.
Fuck.
Everyone else is laughing. After every joke, I looked over at Nick Kroll, uninterested.
Yeah, that's the worst. Because like the best thing is an audience of people you don't know, and then to have like it's like
Why would he do that? I love Nick Kroll. I'm like a huge fan, and I was like, "What the fuck, man? That's like if Will Ferrell was sitting there, just nothing." But it wasn't like he didn't laugh at anybody. Apparently,
right.
I don't know what I thought he was there for like a bit or something. Because I almost commented on that. I was like, they would probably get really mad.
Yeah.
But hey, Nick. Sit in the fucking balcony, bud. Do you have no empathy for your fellow man?
Oh, my God. So, to see his fit, that's tough.
Yeah, and it's too bad that, like, something tragic happened to him that day or whatever I created in my head that made him act like that. But
his wife was the one that passed out at your first show. He came to seek vengeance. How the, here's
oh,
the, this
shit,
is the
that's
asshole.
A good story. Fuck,
why
great.
Is he brandishing a knife?
Classic Nick Kroll. He had a gun pointed at me the whole time.
And, yeah, he was holding a gun and a knife.
Yeah, and backup. Oh, man.
Anyway, mouth, those are the two.
Well, how about this? The first show, one of the first shows I did in New York that my, like, all my family came. It was like my brother came. He brought his, like, my cousin, my his, like, three roommates, and maybe call it one other person. I get to the show. No one else is there.
I
think it was one of those early shows. I had probably 12 comics booked. You know, like those early, like just
yeah.
One of my first shows, and they put me last because they knew that my family would
the
wait.
Crowd would leave. Yeah.
Yes. Jesus. So I had they had to watch, you know, 12 people go,
oh,
and then I had
no.
to do for the first time ever performing comedy in front of my family
no.
and loved ones. I had to do it just to them.
That is so
yes.
painful.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Jesus.
Stand up is really sometimes it's just you're like this is so. This is crazy.
But they do this to you like on purpose, I feel like. The
yes.
stand-up gods. Mm-hmm.
They do.
Know?
It makes you tougher. And I'm sure you killed. And so it's like... It
that was what was frustrating is it was a good set, but the every joke I was just thinking... What in my head, I almost just did a different set, and this had to be like approved. Every joke was like
approved,
vetted. So it wasn't like I could just go off script. But I was like, all I could think of was like, what would make Nick Kroll?
Totally,
right
totally. It's well, almost no. better. Yeah, good thing you had it scripted because then you're like, you have no choice.
Right. But then I got done with my last joke and I ended kind of like, I just said my last line kind of weird because I was just in my head about Nick Kroll. And then I was like, maybe I'll do something else. And I was like, oh, wait, I'm done. I just like ended. I was like, all right, that's it. See ya. But it was like, yeah, it was a good set. But yeah, it was a little kooky. And every single comic came back and they were like, why the fuck didn't anybody tell me Nick Kroll's out there? It was crazy.
And the
I
eye shot
people.
Too is crazy. To be in like to be able to see him is that's tough.
So close to
that's
the stage,
tough.
It's insane. It's like if one of your friends sat down up front at
yeah.
your taping who you didn't know was going to do that.
Totally.
You know, it's crazy. And
yeah.
also a very judgmental friend who's not laughing at anything. You'd
and
be like, "Why did I piss Brian off?" Yeah,
yeah.
The only yes. thing worse I could think of. Would be if, let's say, Riley Cooper. do you know this story, this Kenny Chesney story? Riley
no.
Cooper, Eagles wide receiver.
I'm going to say, I don't think we should play the clip.
Oh, no. there's a very famous video. It was a big NFL controversy of Riley Cooper yelling the N-word.
Oh
and
God.
He did it at a Kenny Chesney concert.
No.
He
yes.
says,
no.
I'll fight any blank here.
Yep.
And then somebody else, some other like lady who's like his hype man, goes, yeah, hard R. Oh. You're like, Jesus, this is full on.
So do you defend that behavior?
Yeah,
yeah, it's like, I feel a little
you were that
lady. Into a corner here. No, here's my thing. I told you boys this. I will blindly defend any country singer. It's the worst part of my personality. It's the worst trait. I'm a liberal. I'm a very, very, like, I lean very left.
But we don't get political on this show.
Well, then why are there Trump flags everywhere in here?
The one thing we haven't moved up.
That's how we decided said we had to have them for the podcast.
Yeah, no, I grew up on country music, so it has a soft, like, in my heart, I'm like, it reminds me of childhood and growing up.
Yeah.
And it's just all the music I knew. Like, kids got, I don't know what you guys listened to growing up, so I have no knowledge.
I
of,
also
like,
grew up on country.
Yeah.
I grew up on a, like, kind of an eclectic mix of things that were mostly bad, but yeah. But yeah, some like old rock and stuff. Like I grew up on Styx and stuff, but a lot of what I grew up listening to was like George Strait.
Me too.
Reba, yeah. Dolly, well, less Dolly Parton,
me
but
too.
Like a little bit. But it was mostly pop country.
Me too.
So like, it's funny. I was literally talking about this. Yeah, I just did a Guy Montgomery joke. He said it's not funny when something literally just happened to you or whatever. But I was just talking about this two nights ago with a bunch of people where we were talking about country music. We all loved it. I forgot how fired up I got about it. Like John Michael Montgomery and stuff.
Yes, life's a dance. You learn as you go. Yes.
Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow.
Now,
yeah, it's so good.
What I think is interesting
okay.
is you're an East Coaster.
That's right.
Which I think a lot of people don't know that. I know that from going to school in Boston that a lot of East Coast people do love country that, music, which I think is counterintuitive.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
Then again, it's like people in like Indiana love rap too. Like,
yeah.
It's,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like my brother lives in Kentucky and he got me into a lot of the rap that I'm into.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of It's weird how you get into music that has nothing to do with where you're at.
And my friend is from the South, and like she'll send me music that's like I don't think some people from the South don't even like pop country because they're like, well, that's not actual real country. Like they like more bluegrass and stuff. So I think East Coast we get But maybe we just like have repressed feelings and like drinking, and country kind of like fixes both of those problems.
Totally.
You know?
I sent this to you guys. I'll read it aloud. But I definitely had a pop country phase in like early high school. And I had an old Facebook status come up, and this was it, word for word. It was it's from 2009, so I was 19 years old.
Yes.
And I said, planning on a tough day of day drinking and listening to Kenny Chesney.
Oh, a misdirect.
Very cool. Very funny.
No, it was tough. He was like, I have to do this.
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I read it in our thread, I thought you had posted that. Because you know how you guys sometimes post, like, we're talking about this on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that that's what you actually meant. Like, it was going to be a tough day because you had to listen to Kenny Chesney.
I thought that, too, originally when you posted
it.
And
then I saw this timestamp.
Beautiful. Tommy's like memories on Facebook are so good.
Yes. I know.
I tweet him a lot.
Isn't it kind of like crazy? You look back and like, that's who I was. Like it's it's so weird to be like, that's who I was.
So many of mine are like, wish I was working at Dunder Mifflin today. Oh, Jim Halpert is my real mood, or is my spirit animal, or whatever.
Honestly, I saw a guy with a Dunder Mifflin shirt today. I feel like there's still people.
I wear a Dunder Mifflin shirt because my brother bought me one last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's so funny, but it's like the most popular show on Netflix
and
now.
It should
so
be.
All these people who didn't watch it
right.
when the rest of us watched it
are watching it now.
And they're like,
it's
have
a perfect
you seen
show.
This show?
It's a perfect show.
It's like how people are getting into Cheers again all of a sudden. I've
gotten into The Sopranos recently because it's on HBO, and I feel like a lot of people have kind of been getting into that now, too.
That's something that I have on my little bookmarks to watch.
Tony Soprano.
Do you like it?
I watch The Sopranos, and it's like, crime aside, it's very my life, you know?
Whoa.
Murders aside, it's very relatable to me.
That's the opposite of what Tommy said. It's only the crimes he relates to. Sick fuck.
I wanted to point out, too, since you were talking about you just got cats.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I also, on top of...
Not that movie.
That's what somebody else said. This exact thing happened last night where I said I just got cats, and Aparna Nanjirla goes... Oh, I thought you meant, like, you just got it. Like, you just understood, like, oh, cats is supposed to be, like, a joke or something. No, I got to stop saying literally. I'm very fucked up. Or tired, not fucked up. But I just got cats today. I adopted cats today. I fostered cats yesterday. Within 24 hours, I adopted them because me and my girlfriend, because we love them so much.
Oh,
they're very sweet. And I told her this would happen.
Oh, yeah. Fostering's a scheme. It's a scheme.
As soon as we see
tactic.
Two cats.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to get one. I was like, as soon as we see them, I'm going to be like, fuck it.
Are they
let's
kittens?
Just have
or?
The cat. Yeah, they're kittens.
How can you possibly say no? I'm obsessed with animals now. L.A., everyone has dogs. And
do you have
I'm,
one in L.A.?
No, but May does. My best friend, May Wilkerson, does. And she lives like two blocks from me. And I am like, I literally ache. I'm missing the dog.
That's how I feel with the cats right now.
Oh, my God.
The kittens.
Yeah.
They're so fucking cute.
I feel like we live kind of isolated lives as comics, too. There's a lot of alone time. And the idea of just like an animal that has all this unconditional love and you don't have to like entertain them. Like all you have to do is show up and they love you. It's like, oh, yes. God.
The thing
it's
I
really
like about
nice.
These cats, though... You kind of have to earn it for a day. I appreciate that.
Yes.
I had to like earn their trust over, and also I'm home more. So
you have the upper
hand. I got
hand.
Time to really
turn them against.
I've been
showing the pictures.
I've
showing
the picture of Antonia and slapping them around. I wear an Antonia. She's going to hate this. Baby, I love you.
The reason I wanted to bring that up is that my family had cats for a few years, and their names were Paisley and Chesney.
Wow.
Brad Paisley. That now, he's a real... I want to say he's kind of like in another life, maybe he would have wanted to be a comedian. I feel like a lot of his songs are always a little bit, he's always making some jokes in the songs.
He has the song. Like, could we play Accidental Racist? I think that's Brad Paisley.
We were going to be playing Accidental Racist on this podcast.
We might have already
today.
Played it at some point.
I don't know that we did. If you're a listener, let us know. Or don't. Just skip
it. I really forgot about this part of his
Yeah. Brad Paisley was a little after my time country-wise.
Totally.
But when I heard Accidentally Racist, I was like, I'll get back in. No, I was like, this is truly one of the worst songs.
It's like a genuine Brad Paisley song. It's a genuine song.
It's Brad Paisley and LL Cool J.
Which is bizarre.
I'm dying. Did this like make it on the charts?
Oh, yeah. This is a hit.
It's so sincere.
So earnest, yeah.
It's like so bluesy.
Oh, my God. It's such an admission of guilt already.
And waiting on me. The Starbucks down on Main. I hope you understand.
Oh, no.
When I put on that t-shirt.
Oh, no.
The only thing I meant to say is I'm a Skinnerd fan.
A Confederate flag t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
The red flag on my chest somehow is like the elephant in the corner of the south. And I just walked him right in the room.
I forgot how bad it is.
Proud rebel son with an old can of worms. Looking like a guy who has to learn.
I have something I have to get off my chest.
But from my point of view.
Oh, here it comes. Come on, Ella.
I'm just a white man. Oh. Coming to you from the Southland. Oh. Trying to. Not to be, I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done. And it ain't like you and me can rewrite history. Our generation didn't start this nation.
Oh, it's such a cop out.
Oh, it sucks.
Picking up the pieces, walking on eggshells, fighting over yesterday. Between Southern pride and Southern blame.
Just press forward to LL Cool J's verse.
Yeah,
really
yeah. It's got to be coming.
Walk a mile.
See that white cowboy to no good. But you try to get to know me. I really wish you would. Now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's march turned the South into firewood. I want you to get paid, but be a slave, I never could. Feel like a newfangled jangle dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate and clear the air. But I see that red flag, and I think you wish I wasn't here.
It's the white man.
If you don't judge my
do-rag,
I won't judge your red flag.
If you don't judge my do-rag, I won't judge your red flag. He's just like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's such... It's
wearing a do-rag is just as
and
bad
this
as
this song did so much so much bad for every
it's
guy
so
that's
bad.
Like, I'm going to keep wearing my shirt.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
So that's what my cat stood for.
Chesney was always... No, no, not Chesney. Paisley was always like the big announcer of the CMAs. He still might be.
Oh, shit.
So he did the hosting bit. So it was always like, oh, yeah, yeah, he's... Like
he's like a personality too.
When
exactly.
I googled stuff about like oh shit, why is it? Oh, there we go. When I googled stuff about like controversy with Chesney, there's so little that this song was a big part of it because like they were like, why country music stars are reluctant to speak up about Charlottesville. They start and they get into this song a little bit, but. This song is so fucking bad.
I mean, that is so
that
crazy.
That line where he's like, our generation didn't start this nation. It's like, yeah, they also didn't have that flag.
Yep.
That was a flag from before. So you can't do both of those.
No.
You can't go.
Well, even Taylor Swift, like, she
so
didn't
annoying.
Speak out about, like, she didn't, the 20...
Well, she
whatever.
Didn't get political till that recently.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is still good. And
totally.
By the way, I met Matt Rogers this weekend,
yeah, yeah.
And
what
I am
fucking...
such a fan of... he made a parody album
so funny.
Of Taylor Swift's new album, and it is... Stuck in my head all the time. It's so
it's
funny.
Yeah, look it up.
His songs are stuck in my head. Wait, what's
they're
the one
so
that always
good.
Gets stuck in my head?
Is it Hawny?
Yeah, it's a Hawny. Yeah, I mean,
we are part of this community, Hawny. He says, all my diverse friends
it's
say Hawny.
so
I mean, he is so talented.
That, go to his, if you go to his Instagram, it's like one of his pinned stories or whatever. And it's truly amazing. Go all the way to the end because one of my favorite ones at the end, and I can't sing it because language wise, it's things that I can't say.
Yeah.
But it's very catchy.
It's
and
so
funny.
Now, did he, well, whatever. Did he make that after the album or before?
The album hasn't come out yet.
It was before.
It was when the
tracklist
came out and they were announcing all that.
That is so unbelievable because one of the songs I was listening to on the radio,
sounds kind of like it.
Genius. So
the Katy Perry one is so funny.
Yeah, it's like the Katy Perry.
It's so fun.
The one Kenny Chesney news story that I feel like we should talk about is he famously married Renee Zellweger and divorced after 4 months. They got an annulment.
God, celebrities
because
do that
he finally
all the time.
Took his hat off.
He is a bald man.
Somebody posted that on our Facebook that she left him for being bald.
Well, so the reason that caused this big stir was that on the annulment on the form, what they checked for like what the reason they were getting annulled was fraud. So everyone thought that meant that he was gay. That was what people. That
oh,
was like
geez.
The big tabloid
what
rumor.
What a leap.
Yes.
From fraud.
I know my mom used to say, like, every man in country is gay.
I love that. That's such a mom thing to say.
Well, yeah, Zellweger interviews with her are interesting because she makes a really good point where she was like, I think it's really sad that people would take that leap and also that they would use gay in a pejorative way like that,
right.
Which I was interested. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. But also, it's funny because I watched an interview with him about it and he's like, well, we just chose fraud because it seemed like the one that was like the least harsh. It's like, well, fraud sounds pretty harsh.
Fraud sounds like a crime. sounds like you've done a criminal. One of you has done something.
Marital differences or something.
Right,
like that.
Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah, that's the one you picked.
That's
always.
The one you picked.
No matter what.
Fraud.
But fraud makes it sound like he was like ripping her off or something too.
I love him just being like, "No, I have imposter syndrome. I think I'm a fraud." Yeah, it's like, nothing to do with that.
So in the 60 Minutes thing that I watched, they showed some of the tabloids, and I don't know what publication this was from, but the headline was, "It's a picture of Renee Zellweger, and it says, "Hey, what the Zell?"
Oh Jesus!
That's beautiful.
That's great.
What the Zell?
That's the one that won. You know, that's the one that got it. Yeah, Kenny's really also though. I feel like musicians in general. That's like got to be tough to stay in a relationship as a musician.
Sure.
You're on the road all the time, and he just strikes me. All of his songs are kind of about like youth and flings and love. It just strikes me that he's not a guy who's he's not a tied down kind of guy.
No, yeah.
A lot of his brand is literally like partying and wistful memories of past loves,
yeah.
You know?
Do you guys know how old he is?
God, I don't know. I bet it's older than we think.
It's older than I thought, but it's not that. I mean,
I
it's,
say like
it's definitely older.
I want to say 50.
You pretty much nailed it on the head.
Okay.
It's 51. I thought he was like early. I thought he was like 40. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like misremembering when I knew of him and stuff.
Right, like he's it strikes me that he's always been kind of like 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just always
yeah, I don't remember him as like a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old.
So the one other story I wanted to touch on before we get into the music is that I think I sent this to you guys, but in 2000 to try and goof around with Tim McGraw, he got on a police horse and started like trotting it around.
Oh shit. And then they got arrested.
And then got arrested for it.
No way.
He trotted around the parking lot, amusing his tour mate Tim McGraw and ignoring the officer's orders to halt and dismount.
I do love the idea of a jolly Tim McGraw.
Me too. I love Tim McGraw.
Wait, listen to this. And then McGraw came and jumped the second deputy from behind,
what?
Wrapped one arm around his neck, and was choking him.
Oh my God.
A third officer joined the fight. Both Chesney and McGraw were arrested and detained for 4 hours, although a jury found them not guilty. And you know that jury was just country music fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are very guilty.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what's not guilty about this? They did the thing.
They jumped on a horse and they choked a cop.
The judge said, no shoes, no shirt, jumping on a horse.
No problem.
And choking a cop out. No problem.
Also, they're like, hey, man, we're cowboys. We see a horse, we got to ride it. That ain't personal.
Horse. Cop, horse, regular horse. What's the difference?
Save a horse.
Save a horse.
Choke an
resist
officer.
Arrest. Yeah.
Choke an officer.
Oh, my God. We should
let's hear a song.
Songs,
I say we hear a song, then we go to Jared. That's my
cool. Yeah, we'll get the
vote.
Who's Jared?
Oh, you're in for a surprise.
Oh, I can't hardly wait. Pony.
What'd I do with my phone? There it is. All right, let's hear the first song on this playlist that you made us. A very delightful playlist indeed. I'm just killing time while I pull this playlist up.
And also, my favorite thing in the world is to, like, be in the car and listen to country music full blast and, like, belt it. I think it's very easy to sing to, too.
Yes, totally.
It's, like, very, you don't have to have a good voice to, like, sing along. It's very easy.
Do you still do that now? Do you have, like, country playlists or anything?
100%. I have a country playlist, and, like, in L.A., that's been the best part of my, like, my favorite part of L.A. is after anything, I get to be in a car for, when people say traffic, I'm like, who cares? I did have this thing happen the other day, though, where I was in the car in traffic singing, and I looked over, and a guy was looking at me disgusted. Like, he couldn't, like, just, like, he was almost like shocked, disgusted, like could, and I was like, oh, of course people can hear this like a little bit.
Yeah.
But I love doing it. It's very relaxing for me.
I do it too. I truly think like I have a car here just so that I can do that.
It's
I like, drive around sometimes and I'm like, I got in my car to move some stuff today. And I was like, oh yeah, it's my private, it's the truly the most alone you can be. Like,
exactly. Yeah, I feel very protected. I love, love, love my car.
When I was in solitary, I thought the same thing.
And you got in solitary for impersonating Kenny Chesney.
This is going to confuse everyone.
Baby, here I this am. This is you and tequila.
It's a great song.
Kicking dust in the canyon wind. Waiting for that sun to go down. Made it up Mulholland Drive, hell bent on getting high, high above the lights of town. You and tequila make me crazy. Run like poison in my blood. One more night could kill me, baby. One is one too many. One more is never enough. Thirty days and 30 nights, been putting up a real good fight. One more night could kill me, baby.
All together.
One is one too many. One more is never enough. When it comes to you,
great break.
All the damage I could do. Always your favorite sin
that do you in.
Always your favorite sins
that
do
you
in.
I mean, come on.
So good.
One is one too many, one more is never enough. Ooh.
I love that song. I'm happy you picked it.
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
Great
my
one.
Favorite sin is coveting my neighbor's horse.
Just like Kenny Chesney.
Yes, you're in good company. That's what the song's about.
I love that song. It's Grace Potter is doing
Grace
the
yes.
harmonies. And she's incredible. She's a great
incredible.
Singer.
She's in Hufflepuff.
wait,
is that Grace Potter?
We have to sue you.
Oh, shit. I love that song. And when he says 30 days and 30 nights, it was originally a reference to the Josh Hartnett movie, 40 Days and 40 Nights.
The copyright issues.
Copyright issues.
He had already been in trouble with the law, and he said, I can't take a risk. I can't go back to court. I love that song.
That was a nice little song. It was very pretty. But let's hear somebody slam it down.
So Jared Thompson, owner of the Comedy Attic.
Owner of the Comedy Attic.
Our dear friend.
Beautiful Bloomington.
Every episode he calls in and leaves a voicemail with his thoughts on the artist. And be prepared to...
Be ready. They're usually negative. I want to share our text exchange today. He wrote, is that country? And I said, haha, yes. And he said, I mean, that's what it sounds like it would be. And then he said, is it racist? So that's what you're going in with. Here is Jared.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a redneck on defending Kenny Chesney. So a couple weeks ago, Max's travel baseball team had their last tournament in Noblesville. And it was really hot. It was like 100 degrees. And so after his two games on Saturday, we went back to the hotel and sort of chilled out for a little bit, and then we decided that we wanted to just sort of figure out something to do in Noblesville. So we get into the elevator, and there's these two ladies who are totally, like, dressed up in a, like, country western way, and they have, like, those ugly, like, Australian outback hats that, like, I think people that listen to country music for some reason are wearing. And so we get in the elevator, they ask us about our baseball game, and I ask them, you know, you guys look like you're going to a country and western concert, and they were like, we are. And it was really weird because, I mean, we, you know, they could have been doing anything. And so Margaret asked them, who are they? Are they going to see the Beatles? And they laughed and they said, no, they're going to see Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton. So that's my review of Kenny Chesney. All right, thanks.
Oh, Jared. Oh, shit. Hold on. Oh, Jared.
Kenny Chesney did take a shot at Blake Shelton.
Is that right?
Is that right?
In one of the, when I was, not like directly, but he was just kind of saying he would never do like a talent show. Like he would never.
Damn.
And his reasoning was like, can you go picture Tom Petty doing that? Just
that's
like it's kind of a lame
wild
thing to do. Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Which I don't disagree
shot
with them. And some other people who talk about Ben Folds at talent show, I always do think it is lame.
Yeah, it is a little corny. And yet, Keenan did it.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like you have to be at a stage of your career where like maybe you're like wanting something different. Like, you know, mm-hmm, maybe you're like, the road is tiring or I want to have some money.
Did you ever go to a country show and throw on the hat? Did you ever do that?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. My first ever concert was, country. It was Alan Jackson.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Hell yeah.
But you guys did
way
him,
down,
right? Did you
no,
guys
we haven't done Alan
oh,
Jackson.
I would have done him. I would have done
shit,
him.
Shit, that'd be
whoops
good, too.
Yeah.
That Chattahoochee.
Way down yonder on the chat. Damn, I should have done him, because he's, I think, like, people, I don't think he needs as much defending, because he's a
no,
little
we
bit.
We still could have done it.
We still could have done it.
He did the 9/11 song.
Oh, okay.
So there's a Kenny Chesney 9/11 thing.
Oh, shit, what is that?
Kenny Chesney was supposed to be filming a music video in the World Trade Center on September 11th.
What?
And they ended up rescheduling it.
Fuck.
Just, like, before it happened. And then he says, like, he was watching the news, like oh, that
dang
was an angel
that would,
like,
that
saved
would
me from that.
I bet
yeah
that changes you. Holy
yeah
shit.
That's crazy. Man.
Yeah. Alan Jackson, though, is
pretty
like
crazy who the celebrities were who were involved in this.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane.
Wait, Seth was supposed to be there,
he
too?
He was supposed to be on one of the planes.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane was.
You never heard this story?
No.
Can you imagine if we didn't get American Dad?
Hey, I like American Dad. The alien is funny.
He is funny.
He's like Jeff Sheen, the alien.
I've never seen him.
All right.
But yeah, Alan Jackson's a little bit more, I feel like, old school country.
Has
like,
more cred.
Has
yeah
a little bit more cred of just like one of the, yeah, whereas
sure
Kenny's in a little bit more of this like pop.
Well, he's like, he truly is like Jimmy Buffett, who we just talked about.
Yeah,
where
yeah
he's like, he's the only like country artist who's in like all the like top 10 tours of the
yep
year every year.
Right.
Like every year, he has like the most insane devoted fans.
Yeah.
And he just
he does.
Like, his concerts are like parties. And it's like one of those things that people just will see him every year, no matter what.
Right. And if you hate country music, you probably hate Kenny. Like he's kind of he is kind of like a heartbeat of country music. Like,
And they have
right
their whole, the No Shoe Nation, that
exactly
whole thing of like, we don't wear
oh
shoes.
God.
Quentin Tarantino it's
my
loves us.
Least favorite.
Part
movement in the world. Put some fucking shoes on.
Right. It's like, yeah, no shoes on a beach. Fucks. Great. Like, no shoes on pavement at a
no
concert.
No shoes
like
on a plane.
Yeah,
I'm
no
going to kill you.
Yeah.
Someone did do it at the Tarantino movie. Someone took their shoes
that's
off.
Disgusting.
And I was like, this is the only time I can't be mad because Tarantino loves it so much.
Oh, God. That's funny. That is funny. I want to give you credit for that.
I'm
being
quietly
funny, but
putting my shoes back on. Yes.
All right. Let's hear I Go Back. We'll be right back.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along. 'Cause every time I hear that song, and I go back to a two-tone short bed Chevy, driving my first love out to the levee, living life with no sense of time. And I go back to the feel of a 50-yard line, a blanket, a girl, some raspberry wine, wishing time would stop right in its tracks. And every time I hear that song, I go back.
What's up?
Oh, no, no, you're great, great, great. I was not sure if I should move it forward. Tom fled the scene, and I thought, should this be my, is it my duty?
I go back to the smell of an old gym floor and the taste.
Ew. The smell of an old gym floor.
Yep.
Takes us to another place and time. So I go back to the pew, preacher and a choir, singing about God and brimstone and fire, and the smell of Sunday chicken after church.
A lot of gross smells in this.
Yes.
You don't like a Sunday chicken after church?
I guess not.
You sacrilegious bitch.
Now see, the part you just went down on, this
what's
is
up?
A classic.
Wait, say, what did I do?
This,
you're talking about Tommy's penis?
Yeah, boys, please. I know it's the last night here, but now that's a, what we just saw there is a real staple of country music. So the whole time he's like saying, I go back with this song. And then that verse, he says, like, I lost this friend. And so now every time I hear a dip, only the good
right.
die young, that's a classic country song thing
where you get
like,
the shivers for a second.
Yeah, where it gives you like this whole thing, or like there's a lot of songs that are like, I'll wait for you, and the whole thing is like, I had to wait, like she took so long to get ready. My baby took so long to get here, and then without fail,
she's
the last
dead.
Verse is always like, she's dead, but I know when she's in heaven,
so
she'll wait.
You're so true. That song, Don't Take the Girl.
Yes, exactly.
Such a perfect
Don't
example.
Take the Girl.
I remember as a kid being like, oh, fuck. He should have taken the girl.
He said,
you don't take the girl?
He said the same thing when he saw Taken.
Oh, don't take the girl. Because you think that you do want them to take. I know, yeah, I said take the girl. Take her. I was the only person rooting for the like Russians or whatever.
Yeah, that's a classic.
And then have you heard the song, I Was Almost Home? It's about like a homeless guy who's dying in the streets and somebody saves him.
Yes.
It's about how they shouldn't have saved him.
Exactly.
He wanted to die.
Yes.
You're supposed to be like, oh, I guess like, I should have left the guy be. he was almost
home. I was dealing with some. Also, Alyssa Lies, that one.
Is that about you?
It's been a while.
That one's about me and I.
Didn't Luke write that?
And that was an original. I'm just plugging my boyfriends. That's an original track. You can follow Luke Monas and you can see that one.
She says, I'm bad at sex. Alyssa Lies.
Alyssa Lies.
Alyssa Lies. Alyssa Lies.
Ben Folsom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so funny.
There is, before we go back to your playlist, there's one song I also wanted to play. Tom, will you play? I just feel like if we're talking about Kenny Chesney on this podcast, we have to talk about a collaboration he did with Uncle Cracker.
Yes.
Someone who we have not talked about yet somehow.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, who likes?
Because that's the thing.
Six songs.
But yeah, When the Sun Goes Down is the name of the song.
All right, this is When the Sun Goes Down.
A little secret is, I love this song.
Oh yeah.
This is fun.
All day long,
I have a confession. While you say you like this. Laying in a hammock, I don't know if I've heard an Uncle Cracker song I hate.
Right? The night before America's Uncle.
His Follow Me is pretty catchy.
Yeah.
That just sounds identical. Down,
we'll be grooving when the sun goes down.
Right,
we're feeling all right when the sun
good time.
You guys are still blowing each other, which I'm now comfortable with. Everything is hotter when the sun goes down. A lot of puns in country, too.
Yeah.
A lot of double entendres.
A little steel
gun.
A word that they don't know.
Play that Jamaica shit. Play that Jamaica gong. Double racing.
Now's the twist.
When the sun goes down, we'll be grooving when the
depression
sun goes
hits. Down.
Feeling all alone when the sun shakes down over the water. Everything gets hotter when the sun goes down.
Now you'd think that it would get cooler when the
true,
sun went down,
but actually,
for Uncle Cracker.
Yeah, he lives like on a different continent where the sun works differently.
Exactly.
Yes.
Is that true? Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, this is science. Right. The song's about science.
It's about global warming.
It's about global warming. Yeah.
They were ahead of their time. Yeah.
They were. Every day it gets hotter.
Uncle Cracker's Green New Deal.
Uncle Cracker wants you to stop using plastic straws. All right, let's hear another song and then we'll go to Facebook. Let's hear Summertime.
Oh, no, this summer, summer, now, this one I got, I remember I made a playlist for like my boyfriend, like my first boyfriend ever. We were like madly in love.
Don't get jealous, Luke.
Yeah, and we gave each other playlists, and this was on mine, and I remember him just brutally making fun of me. Anyway, it ended badly.
Whenever you say something ended badly, I'm just going to turn it up.
65 in Brooklyn.
Out the night's rolling, man. Just like a long lost friend you ain't seen in a while. You can't help but smile. And it's two bad feet on the dashboard.
Love feet.
Making me upset to hear this playlist because I feel my trash blood loving
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
Just like,
no,
I don't
really,
want to like
it. I hid liking it for so long, and then it's like, whatever. It's
yeah.
like, yeah, I feel that way sometimes. It's like, we got, same with, yeah, some certain books. I'm like, sometimes it's good to read bad, but like, we can't have eclectic taste
yeah.
in everything.
Like sometimes
short.
You gotta read Mein Kampf. Like it's like a guilty.
It's a beach read.
Yes, yes. The Art of War. It's like you have to. Like, so I like a beach read. So what? So what?
It's like trashy.
It's so trashy, and I just yeah, I'm so quirky.
All right, let's hear "Save It for a Rainy Day."
This is a newer one. The weather. He's big on weather.
It's so true.
It's no secret that lately there ain't no escaping that I've been waking up alone. Just me and the TV and a sinking feeling that you ain't ever coming home. But today, the tears ain't gonna hit the floor. Cause the boat's in the bay and it's calling my name, so I'm headed on. The sun's too bright, the sky's too blue. Beer's too cold to be thinking about. You gonna take this heartbreak and tuck it away, save it for a rainy day. When I turn it all stuck in my head, it's just gonna have to wait. Cause the sun's too bright, the sky's too blue. Beer's too cold to be thinking about. You gonna take this heartbreak and tuck it away, save it for a rainy day.
There's a very formulaic thing Kenny Chesney does.
We're kind of witnessing
the breakdown.
Yeah.
Where he just takes out like two of the instruments.
I've been skipping to the same part in every song, and every time it's that.
There's something I think is really funny about Kenny Chesney is that I think he got really insecure about the fact that all of his songs were about like sunshine and the island. So then he like made these like very clear, like, what if I said rainy day?
Yeah.
And then he has another song called The Boys of Fall. And we're like,
the
okay.
Beers are still
yeah,
too,
you're still the, yeah.
The beers are still too cold.
Right, he couldn't help himself.
And you put your feet in the sand. It's cold sand, though.
Yeah. The sand's cold.
Different sand.
Kenny Chesney explained the song's message. The idea is, why lose another beautiful day over something out of our control?
Ooh.
Whatever it is, a girlfriend leaving, a crummy boss, something else, the reality is pretty simple. They don't care that they're ruining your day, he said, and they're not. You are. It's your choice how you're going to feel, a lot more than any of us realize.
What the Zell?
What the Zell? Yeah. I made a video about like a country singer explaining a song lyric. And it's basically just that, where it's like, I've watched some interviews, and it's never, I mean, this is kind of profound, but usually it's just like, they just repeat the lyric.
Yeah.
It's almost always just like, well, that one's because you want to save it for a rainy day, not while it's sunny. It's like, okay, well, yeah.
Summertime is in between spring and fall.
So that's what that one's kind of about. You're right in between there.
Kind of an in-between.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Facebook.
So we people have commented.
So every week on the show, I post on Facebook. We're talking about whoever we're talking about today. I said Kenny Chesney, of course, on the podcast. If you have thoughts, if you want to chime in, add me on Facebook, I guess. I got to find a better way to
Twitter.
Do this, because I do have I appreciate all the people who add me who want to just do this. I truly do. And also the person on Instagram who made us
a
little
appreciate
clip
it.
Thing with the like the subtitles and shit. That was really cool. I'll find your name and shout you out on the next episode, but I appreciate it. And if you're into tweet at us, all that shit, we appreciate it. But this is on Facebook. A lot of people making tractor sexy jokes. First comment is, I think it's tractor sexy.
That's not on your playlist, right?
No,
can we lightly play that while we do Facebook?
Yeah, that's a good
just because it is smart. Something we have to talk
that's
about.
We do.
Point.
We can't just,
it is
yes.
By
this
far
is
his worst song,
a song
and one of his most popular.
Made me hate him.
Of course.
So this is, she thinks my tractor's sexy.
Which apparently is, he's being ironic, apparently, is what the people will say.
You don't. You haven't earned the right, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm saying ahead of time so people don't go, well, they don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Which happens sometimes to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just, we know that that's.
Yeah, we fucking get irony, you dumb fuck. God damn it. The thing is, people
irony
who say that have only listened to one episode. It's about their person. The people who listen regularly all get. The fuck this is.
All right,
because I know that, all right, it doesn't matter.
I didn't mean to get us down.
No, because I know I'm going to get shit for talking too much at the beginning of this episode about not Kenny Chesney. This is our show, baby. We're having fun. All right. I'm going to save my favorite one for last. But Shannon Norman says, when he comes to Pittsburgh, his fans absolutely destroy. He says, trademark Steve Hofstetter. and then he says, the parking lots are on Heinz Field while tailgating. And then he posted a picture that is truly devastating looking. People should look at it. It's
like
documentary.
Like our apartment
where
right now.
Yeah. That looks nice compared to your apartment.
Wow.
The truth
right,
comes
this
out.
This is it. Hold on. Look
oh, at that is devastating.
Isn't that crazy?
That's gross.
Yeah, so Andrew...
I don't defend the fans.
Andrew Marr says, I saw him at Ford Field in Detroit, and he literally flew onto the stage with suspension cables while he lip-synced one of his songs, which seemed impressive at first, but he landed on the stage, and then it cut to his...
real mic?
Yeah.
Oh, it must have... What the
it cut to his real mic, and he's like winded.
Oh, yeah, he's
winded
and shit. Yeah. Then the background video on the stage was just a two-hour-long commercial of attractive people drinking his brand of alcohol.
Yeah, he has a rum. I think
it was
what it's
a, called. They said maybe it's Pirate Bay. I'm not sure if that's true. It's definitely not Landshark.
I saw. I watched an Ellen DeGeneres thing where he was promoting his rum, and boy, they are both so boring. It is unbelievable.
It was a terrible show. My girlfriend got hit in the face hard as fuck with a T-shirt cannon.
Oh, no!
She went out like Maude Flanders.
Wait, can I? That's this is so an aside funny. Really quick.
Yes.
There's a one of my favorite stories I've ever heard is I had a friend who was an improviser at a theater in Chicago, and they got Benny the Bull, the Chicago Bulls mascot, to come surprise everyone at one of their shows. So the actual Bulls mascot comes. And they're like, yeah, just do whatever you want. Like, everyone's going to be so hyped see you. Just like, don't break anything. And he brought the T-shirt gun, Benny the Bull, and took out a light fixture. And it was like $1,000 in damage because he just shot the T-shirt gun and knocked out like a whole light. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
That's so funny. All right. Let's see what else. Worst part is the lady two rows behind us caught the shirt off the ricochet and pretended like she didn't have it hiding in her purse when we asked about it. Well, I mean, it's not your shirt.
Just because it has your girlfriend's blood on it.
I mean, they weren't necessarily OJ's gloves. You know? Let's see here. Balding stuff.
So it sounds like people really don't like the fans, for sure.
The
experience of the concert.
But a lot of people do like him, though. Katie Hodges, a very funny person in Vermont, writes, "Love of my life, ugh." And then my friend Amy T-Vault writes, "I feel irrationally snarky about old Kenny. There's something about the whole manufactured Mellencamp country pop vibe that doesn't quite sit right. His music is also so sentimental about underage drinking / high school. I love a good Those Were the Days song, but, like, come on, Kenny, move forward." It is true that
it's true.
51.
It's right. But that's why his songs are nice.
I kind of get annoyed when, like, I like it. For some reason, I like it in the Miley song when she is like, a Britney song is on.
Yeah,
but when
he's,
like, just referencing Melody, it's
Diane,
like, that's a different song. Like, you do a song now.
Totally.
I don't need it. But I find myself liking it in other songs, so it's a bad argument because I like when Vampire Weekend does it to Modest Mouse.
Yep. Yeah.
But what do you do? There's a lot of comments on here, actually.
I do that in my comedy a lot. I say, much like Tommy McNamara's bit.
I want to talk to you about that.
And then you just do the bit.
I just do the bit. But yeah, this is what it would sound like if a woman said his bit. And I just do your whole set.
But then you make it sound identical.
Identical. Like, yeah, nothing changes except my, yeah. People love it.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes I don't even say the Tommy McNamara part.
Yeah, she forgets that part. You got to cut for timing.
Sometimes
you get the light.
I don't. And I tape my sets. That part doesn't get a laugh, so I cut it.
Selena Kopic writes, "Always the worst. I love bad country, and I'm very well read in the world of shit country, but good God, Kenny Chesney is the worst of the worst. Also, weird divorce from Renee Zellweger. She didn't... Oh, yeah, we saw this.
That's why I picked him. He really does represent the worst parts of country.
Yeah.
It's funny that she said, "I'm very well read." Yeah. I used to read Country Music Magazine, so I know what she's talking about.
Just for the articles.
Of course. let's see. Patty Schroeder says, "Have fun, boys." Thanks, Patty.
That's a very Kenny Chesney. That's a very, yes.
Patrick Schroeder.
Sorry.
The Pathetic Diabetic.
Yes.
Is his nickname. I think it's the funniest
true.
Nickname that exists.
The Ugly.
They call him the Ugly, yeah.
Let's see.
That's why men are amazing. The fact that you guys are like, "Yeah, they call him Ugly." And it's like that, not like something that broke a friendship. If anyone, like, yeah, God.
Shalewa Sharp writes, "This comment thread has been enlightening and mesmerizing." Wes Van Horn writes, "I was a big fan during his come up. She's got it all." Oh shit, I kind of want to hear that one.
Is that on your post?
No.
Damn. Okay.
But that's a good one.
"Me and You, When I Close My Eyes. But there was a switch that every original Kenny fan saw. It started with 'She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy.' He turned it into a pop superstar, and honestly, it ruined our relationship." There's one more that I want to read here, and it is from a one Susie McNamara, who writes that "Anything But Mine is an all-time great summer song," and I'm gonna play
that song. So I almost didn't put on, or I didn't put on because it's so sad.
That's interesting that you say that.
Well, I think if I remember correctly.
I thought you were going to say something else. So this is. Oh wait, is it not on? Does it not have its own?
Doesn't she like?
Oh, it might not be on Spotify.
My mom is the one who named the cat Chesney, by the way.
All right, let's hear "Anything But Mine" from Kenny Chesney. If I can find it here. It's not on Spotify, oddly enough, so already a mark against it.
Tom, thank you for this part where you Yeah. Insult my mother.
Hey, look, this is a new segment on the show.
Roasting Susie McNamara. Hey, Susie.
No, this is the thing. I love Susie McNamara.
Yes.
More than her own son, some would say.
Maybe Sean.
And so I decided to listen to this song today. Here it is.
Well, we had all weeks dying
this
out.
Just start the music video.
Still rideable. Sets are about waste.
You can hear the cries from the carnival rides, the pinball bells and the skee ball slides, watching the summer sun fall out of sight. There's a warm wind coming in from off of the ocean, making its way past the hotel walls to feel the street. Mary is holding both of her shoes in her hand, said she likes to feel the sand beneath her feet.
It's a very sexual song.
And in the morning I'm leaving, making my way back to Cleveland. So tonight I hope that I will do just fine.
With her abs and stuff.
And I don't see how you could ever anything but mine.
But doesn't it end with them not being together, or am I wrong on that?
Want to go to the end?
Yeah,
happens?
I just skipped forward. Hold on. Any-
I would do just fine, and I don't see how you could
Who you'd be today. Is that Kenny as well?
No, I don't think they do end up together in this song because he's going back to Cleveland.
I think so. But I also think I'm thinking of Who You'd Be Today. Is that Kenny as well? That's a tough one of like someone dying and being like, I don't know who you'd
it's,
be today.
This is about a summer relationship.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's their favorite song, interestingly enough, because it's not on your goddamn
Listen,
list.
Listen, I was sweating through New York City. I was trying to find shoes for my brother's wedding. I get this thing. I go, I got to look this up. I would have had more, if I had more thorough time to, as Selena would say, read up and, you know, I would have probably picked that one. That's a great one.
That, you know what, upon second listen, I didn't mind as much. The video is what bothers me more than anything. I don't like the couple. I don't like the shots. The director's shit. But, you know, it's a nice song.
You know, Barry Jenkins directed that.
Felt like also a lot of B-roll. You know, those didn't seem like they, like, went together. Yeah, kind of felt like, yeah.
Exactly. It was too happy. There was no, like, it was only him being sad, but the actors in the thing weren't. We have to kind of zoom through these last few songs. I shouldn't have played so many songs that are not on the playlist.
No,
here,
I like
hear
these.
Don't Happen Twice.
This is probably my favorite.
Ooh.
I haven't seen you in forever. Oh, you haven't changed a bit. You didn't think that I'd remember. How could I forget? We sang Bobby McGee on the hood of my car. Made a wish on every star in that clear September sky. One bottle.
I really thought he was just cutting it off at two dicks. One bottle of wine and two dicks in an apartment that people are moving out of tomorrow.
I do really think that he's made sure to say September so it's not a summer song. Like, totally. I think he's like, you have to know this is different because it sounds like every other song.
Boiling hot.
Yeah, there's also this trope in country songs too where they're always like, you didn't think I'd remember. It's like, well, wait a minute. You guys were madly in love.
Yeah.
You couldn't believe I remembered your name. That's like a Tim McGraw one. It's like, wait, what a minute. This is like your first love. What do you mean? Wow. Didn't think you'd recognize me. What?
We've lived together for the last 20 years.
September sky. One bottle of wine and two
Yes.
Yes.
He lives in a world of
I think
nostalgia.
That's a big country scene, though, too.
And then, yeah. Oh, that's something.
Maybe that's something. Oh, that's something. I said we have to zoom through these, and then I played that, almost that entire song.
That's what I think, though. I think it, like, touches on nostalgia and also... If you listen to it growing up, it's like double nostalgic. Like, I feel like I have double nostalgic.
Like, you're nostalgic for it, and it's nostalgic for something
exactly,
else.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
It's like another one. We sang Bobby McGee on the hood of my car. Like, it's
Janis
like, it's nostalgia, baby.
Exactly.
That is a very, you can tell that country people think it's cool when they're referencing non country songs.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Check this out. Yeah. They're frantically looking up like cool songs to listen to in September.
We were listening to Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
Two slices of cake in a Dixie cup. Wait, what?
Oh, man.
It's like
old anxiety in that Dixie cup. All right, let's see her somewhere with you.
Again, nostalgia. It's like, yeah.
If you're going out with someone new, I'm going out with someone too. I won't feel sorry for me. I'm getting drunk, but I'd much rather be somewhere with you. Laughing loud on a carnival ride, driving around Saturday night, you made fun of me. Singing my song, got a hotel room just to turn you on. Said pick me up at 3 a.m. You're fighting with your mom again. And I'd go somewhere with you. Yeah. I won't sit outside your house, wait for the lights to go out.
Yes, this was a good end. This
call up an ex.
Yeah.
I can go out every night of the week. I can go home with anybody I meet. But it's just a temporary high. Cause when I close my eyes, somewhere in somewhere with you, I'm somewhere with you.
Yeah, I think this one ends with him being like, I'm always, like, instead of I'd rather be, it's like, in my mind, I'm always somewhere. Again, the same turn, where it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's like, it does the same thing, and then again, it's like,
10 seconds left. I think it was right before
that big key.
Yeah,
I do like that one sounds different.
Very
than
different.
Else. Yeah.
I have to say,
he took a risk.
I fucking, again, it's just in my fucking bones. I enjoyed that. I don't want to.
I know. That one feels like the other one, like You and Tequila. I think that's the same like time frame when he started making a little bit folksier, a little bit like, maybe a little sadder, less like party songs.
Chesney told Billboard magazine about this J.T. Harding and Shane McAnally penned Tale of Lost Love. This song killed me when I heard it. This is a tortured soul song. If you get going with somebody, you've been in a relationship, and for whatever reason she's gone or you're gone, and you're not necessarily in another relationship, but you're with somebody else, just starting with somebody, something with somebody else, trying to balance both those worlds is tough. I've done it a lot where you're with somebody and you're thinking, this isn't necessarily bad, but wow, man, it would be really great to be with you.
Oh, my God.
That can be a lot of mental pain. You're so right. He's just explaining.
Exactly. It's almost always.
And he also didn't write it, too.
He didn't write it. He's like, oh, you know, it's like you want to be with somebody, but you're with somebody else. But you want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I found that's the last song on the playlist, by the way.
Yeah.
I found 11 crazy facts about Kenny Chesney. this is what I was laughing about during the last song. Number 6 is he dreams of being Lance Armstrong.
Oh,
I hate having two balls.
What year? Yeah.
He pays his crew very, very well. He employed several hundred people for his road crew. They are paid in bonuses such as a merch lottery. That sucks.
Oh, a lottery.
Not only a lottery sucks. For merch. Oh, Who wants the Kenny Chesney t-shirt?
Hold on. I have to give him credit. It says everyone that worked in a particular night show gets put into a hat, and whoever's name is drawn gets all the money from that night's merch. I thought they won
like a
shirt
with his face on it. Yeah.
I shouldn't have corrected it, but I feel like I had to give him credit. Yeah.
Wait, that is so cool.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Fuck. I don't know, man. He seems like a good guy.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He's
and I kind of respect Country 2 for not, like, it's like, yeah, I'm here for, like, good vibes and for, like, love and, like, I don't know. It's like, it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
We are about to get to the end where we rate the playlist, but before we do that, it's your final, you have the floor. Anything else you want to say before we give our ratings?
Thank you so much, Tommy. I do have a few words.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, I mean, it's both of our show. We were both kind of
well, and you're both named Tom, so deal with it. Now you're both Tommy, okay? No, nothing. I would just say, yes, that I understand why some people might dislike his fans or that his music might be a little corny, but I derive a lot of happiness from it. And the songs provide a lot of like either joy or feelings of like nostalgia that you can relate to. And either one of those things are good feelings to have. And so I appreciate him and the music that he puts out into the world because it makes me feel happier and less alone.
Beautiful.
And I think probably a lot of people feel that way. And you know what? So what? I'm not wearing shoes. So what? Okay. So what?
You're part of the nation.
I'm part of the nation, baby. Yes. That's it. That's all I have.
Wow. I'm going to give a very high rating. I love all these songs. I'm not going to lie. It reminds me of, as I said in 2009, a tough day of day drinking and listening to Kenny Chesney. I have nothing against this man.
Wow.
How about what the zell? I'm giving it a 5 out of 6.
Come
what
on.
The zell?
Come on. Yeehaw.
Shit, man.
And by the way, for comparison, in our last episode, I gave John Mayer a 1 out of 6.
Nice! So,
John Mayer, 1 out of 6.
Wow.
We haven't gotten any guff yet, as far as I can tell. I also haven't checked the Twitter yet.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have. You know, I liked this way more than I thought that I did. And I love your mom. You know that I do. Shit, man. I hate that I enjoyed this, but
yes.
I did. You did a great job. You picked some good songs, and you picked ones that weren't the obvious ones necessarily. But I go back. I still enjoy it, even with the nostalgia shit. I think I'm going to go 4 out of 6.
Hell
I really
yeah.
fucking enjoyed it.
High scores.
It's possible that I'm just in a country mood right now. Summertime is a great time.
It's summertime. We're drinking beers. You got cats. Exactly. You're moving. There's nostalgia
cats.
Here. You know
I'm
what, guys?
Good.
Maybe there is.
I'm a fucking
maybe
dad,
there was a
reason dad.
Why this was today. A lot of nostalgia, and you guys
oh,
are
yeah.
leaving this.
Apartment.
That's
you're
a
leaving
good
your
point.
Apartment. Maybe
and
I caught
it's
you.
9/11.
Oh, man.
All right. Well,
Alyssa, anything you want to plug?
So
just
much.
Yeah,
yes.
You can just follow me at Alyssa Limp, AlyssaLimp.
The best videos on Twitter.
Oh,
she's
thank
the funniest.
You so much,
we
Tommy.
Love Alyssa.
So fucking good. They're
thanks so much.
Killers. You probably already have seen them, but if you haven't, do yourself a goddamn disservice. You're doing it yourself a goddamn disservice.
Yeah.
Check them out right now.
We tell Linda to listen. Yeah. I'm a big
yes,
fan of Alyssa's
and Tommy
mom.
And my yeah. You like Susie? Well, Tommy
yes.
likes my mom, and my mom loves Tommy.
Hey, I'm a fan of your mom too. Oh. I just didn't feel like you know sucking up to the. Oh. let's listen to "She Got It All" to get out of here. But yeah,
thanks for having me.
So fun. This was so great.
Yeah, the last episode ever in this apartment. It's crazy.
Yeah,
Tom and I will never
crazy.
See each other again.
That's
but
true.
We'll always remember. That summer.
Maybe you and Zach Swan can start a fucking podcast.
Is that
shit.
Who you're living with?
let's listen to She's Got It All the X out here. And while that plays, I want to say that I will be at the Big Hunt in D.C. Very soon. I'll also be at Comedy by the Bridge in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It's near Louisville or whatever, in like 2 weeks, 2 weekends. Come to that. And also check out the Patreon. And rate and review and all that bullshit. And check out Alyssa's stuff. All right. This is She's Got It All. Keep it crispy. Bye.